Hi, you're listening to The Table Podcast from April 9th, 2017. Today's podcast is titled, The Unexpected Path.
My name is Valentina. I go to Booth University. Is it close enough that... You guys here? Okay. I'm majoring in psychology, and you'll probably find out in the next few minutes why I'm pursuing this degree. So, like Tim said, we've been doing this thing at Booth. These themes of unsettling encounters with God. And the first time that someone spoke at our school about this topic, it took probably the whole day to process the information that was given to me. It took a while to process the theme, the word unsettling encounters. And it took a while to comprehend the girl's story that she told. And I began to think, well, have I had any unsettling encounters with God? And I've had a very significant and, in the word, unsettling encounter with God in my life when things were bad. And so I'll just jump right in. It started when I was 13. It didn't start off as depression, but by the time I had realized that it was depression, it was too late. And what I mean by that it was too late, the depression had wrapped around me. It had, like a boa constrictor, wrapped around me and started to squeeze. And it latched on to my worst fears, my insecurities, and my thoughts. And it would turn my thoughts into terrible, terrible things. It would twist them, and it would give them life that wasn't meant to be there. And I knew that these thoughts weren't supposed to be here. And yet they were happening. And there were voices that would whisper, voices that would talk as calmly as I'm talking to you, and voices that would shout. And they would all talk at once, and they would say not so nice things. So they would tell me that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't smart enough. And the two worst things that these voices ever said to me was, God doesn't love you, and that you should die. So I struggled with this for a number of years, and I still am dealing with it. But for a long time, it was the worst. From the time I was 13 till I was 17, those were the worst years of my life. And to say that when you're 13 is devastating, because you've barely lived. You haven't seen anything. You haven't experienced anything. And to say that those were the worst moments in your life is heartbreaking, because my childhood was taken from me. And I hid my depression. I hid it from everyone because I had no idea what was going on. And I was terrified. I was terrified that people wouldn't understand. So this resulted in me losing all of my friends because I pushed them away. And I never told my parents because I was afraid they wouldn't get it. So I was alone for a long time. And things were bad. So in order to make these voices stop, to make these feelings stop, I did something not so nice to myself. And that was self-harm. So from the time I was 13 till I was 17, I hurt myself with razor blades in order to stop these voices that would shout and ridicule me, telling me that God wasn't here. And, you know, eventually, Mom found out. And she notified the school. And the teachers notified the counselors. But Mom never let the counselors get close enough because she was afraid that they would then refer me to doctors, who then would refer me to more doctors, who would then put me on medication. So that didn't happen. And my depression went unmonitored and unchecked. And it spun out of control. And I grew up in a good home. I grew up in a fantastic home. My parents are the most loving parents in the world. And they're so great. They work so hard at everything that they do. And they give us everything that they can and more. And I grew up going to church. I grew up believing in who God was and what he had done for us. I grew up reading the stories in the Bible. I understood all of this. And so I didn't understand why I was so depressed. Because wasn't I God's child? Why would he do this? And so I prayed. And I prayed. But I never got an answer back. I would pray to God and I would ask him, why are you doing this? Can't you feel the pain that I'm in? Can't you understand that this pain is unbearable? Why are you allowing this to happen? What did I do so wrong that you have subjected me to this pain? Why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you here? And I grew angrier because there was no answer. There was this wall and it was unbreakable. And I didn't know what to do. So I got angry and I began to hate him. And I would tell him that I hated him for what he was doing to me. And I'd ask him why he hated me. Why would he do this to me? And that went on for 2 years. 2 years of getting angrier, getting sicker, getting more tired. And eventually, I had a really bad day. I was tired. I was tired of being tired. And it didn't help that my parents had yelled at me for something. And so they left. They left the house with my brother. And I remember watching them go. I didn't understand why I had watched them go. I didn't understand why I had memorized their faces. I didn't understand why I had watched them back out of the driveway until they were gone. And I knew what I had to do. And what I was going to do was commit suicide. Because I didn't want to live anymore. So I cried and I screamed and I screamed at the Lord, asking him, is this what you want? This is what you've brought me to do. Why aren't you here? And it went on like that for a while. And I tore up my room. And I was in so much pain. There was this crushing pain inside of me that would not stop. And eventually I stopped crying. I stopped screaming. And I stopped feeling. I was completely numb. I didn't feel anything anymore. And I knew what I had to do. I knew what I was going to do. So I got up from my bed where I had been laying, and I went into the kitchen, and I grabbed the kitchen knife. And I put the knife to my chest and stood there. And I knew I wasn't strong enough, physically strong enough to drive this knife into my heart. I just wasn't physically strong enough. So I thought, why not go out the way I've been doing it for a long while now? And so I sank to the floor, knees to my chest, and put the knife to my wrist. And I remember pressing so hard that the skin around the knife had come up. And I knew that if I moved this knife the slightest inch, the slightest fraction, that I would cut my wrist open. and it would all be over. And I can't express to you how relieved I was, how ready I was to die. And I was so content with it. And I knew that once I moved this knife, it would all be over. And I was okay. I was happy. And then there was this voice that said, "Look up one last time." And I thought, sure, let's look at the home that I've been living in. Let's look at the childhood, because I'll never see it again. It's time to say goodbye. And so I looked up. I looked up, and there was this person in front of me. There was this person kneeling in front of me. And I remember their face, his face, being one of complete despair. And he was so sad, and I couldn't understand why there was this person in front of me and why he was so sad. And he had his knee, he had his hand on my knee. And I remember looking to his hand and thinking why I couldn't feel his hand. There was a person in front of me touching me, so why couldn't I feel his hand? And when I looked up at him, he was slowly getting up and backing away. And before he disappeared, he had a small smile. So suffice it to say, I didn't go through with it. I slowly took the knife from my wrist, got up, and went into the room. And my parents came home, and they apologized for yelling. And I think that's one of the most haunting things, thinking back, is that they would have found me dead, bleeding out on the kitchen floor. And so life went on as best as it could. And I never let the event that had happened sink in. Because I knew if I accepted what had happened, everything would change. And I had been living a certain way for so long that I was terrified of change. This was the only thing I knew, the pain and the depression and the suffering and the self-harm was the only thing I knew. And for that to change was terrifying. So a few weeks later, on the bus ride home from school, I finally accepted what had happened. I accepted that God had sent me an angel, that angel was there to save me, to pull me back at the last second. And if God had sent me an angel, then the voices were wrong. The voices that I had listened to for 2 years, accepting what they had said. They were wrong. God loved me. He cared for me. He saved me. And I let that all flood in. And I broke down and I cried on the bus ride home from school. So, I knew things had to change. So I began to talk to God. But this time, I wasn't angry. This time, I had come to Him without anger in my heart. And I had done that for 2 years. Have accepted that God loved me, that He was here, that He was always there, that He had been there through everything, was overwhelming. But I could feel His love, because I wasn't feeling my pain anymore. I wasn't feeling my depression. I had pushed that all aside, and I had fully accepted that God loved me. And I felt Him in my very core, that He had been there the whole time, and that He had been waiting for me to understand. He had been waiting for me to push my pain aside so that He could come and take its place. But I had been so angry at Him that I pushed Him away and I embraced the pain that the depression had brought. So the emphasis of this encounter is that God is always here. He lives within us. He dwells within us. And we're so constantly searching for Him. Searching for Him in places that we're not going to find Him. But where we're going to find Him is within us. He's here. And He's always here. And I think that's one of the things that is hard to accept when we're going through pain, is that He's here. Or when we sin, because He's there with us. But He's always here, and He's always willing and unconditionally loving us to His fullest capacity. A capacity that we can never fully comprehend. A love so profound that it's unsettling. So, it took me another 2 years to finally stop self-harming, to finally let depression go, and I still suffer with it today, but not as fully as I did when I was a child. So, that's it. Thank you for...
We hope you've enjoyed today's teaching. Find more podcasts and information about our community at thetablewinnipeg.com.